hear your voice like a whisper in the breeze. I feel your presence as you're dancing over me. So I run through the meadows of your love just to find you, just to find you.
Hallelujah. Turn to Hosea. We'll just get going there. It's been a decent spot to start off. Hosea chapter 4. We've been working our way in this area of what I would just really call enjoying your Christian life, or secrets to enjoying life. Again, you start reading statistics, polls, just things, surveys where they of your average human being, or people that used to go to church and now don't, or whatever. And really, it's just there's a lot of people just not really enjoying their Christian walk. And so in the process of talking to the Holy Spirit about that, kind of getting a little bit frustrated for it, because, you know, that's, you know, God called me to be a preacher of the word, to teach people and all that kind of stuff. And it can be frustrating when people don't take the things of God seriously, don't take the commands of God seriously, don't take what God wants them to do seriously. It can be a little bit frustrating, especially when it's your life, right? So I was talking to the Lord about it. I was like, Lord, what do we do? How do we get this and begin changing? And honestly, you know, we want to change everything outside, but what we got to start with is by changing the inside. And again, we read that stat not too long ago about people were surveyed who used to go to church and now no longer go to church, and they asked what would get them back into church, and their answer, the prevailing answer, was enthusiasm in the lives of the pastor and the people towards what they're doing. If people were more excited about serving God, I'd be there. And that really is exactly what the Holy Spirit told me. He said that the missing ingredient is enthusiasm. People aren't enthusiasized. They aren't enthused in regards to what they're doing in the house of God. Many times they go simply to fill the quota of, I got to go to church at least once a week. You know, we have a group of people in here that their quota is much steeper than once a week, and that's good. But still, if all you're doing is going to, well, if I don't, Pastor Thad will get on me. We need to grow so that I can hide behind people a little bit more, so he won't miss me when I'm not there. If that's the reason you're doing that, it becomes very hard. Everything becomes a decision. In other words, when you get up to tithe, or when you're getting ready to tithe, there becomes the temptation of, could we get by with it, you know, tithing this week? Will we miss the tithe if we give the tithe? It becomes a decision. Going to church becomes a decision. Other things, you will tell me, and it just goes like on that, because the enthusiasm's not there. But when we have gotten that enthusiasm, and again, how many times have we seen in Scripture where God's pointed out, the church, we talked about one who left his first love, I believe it was at Ephesus. They were doing everything right. They were going to church. They got really disgusted at the sin that was trying to, get into the church and that was going on. I mean, they were very strong in all that kind of stuff, but, they had lost their first love. In other words, they weren't enthused. They weren't passionate about the things that they were doing. They just did them because it was right. And the Lord said, I hold that against you. You need to be enthused about it. Why? Because if you're not enthused, who's going to be? Who's going to want what you have if you're not enthused about it? Amen. Amen. And this is absolute truth. If you're not excited about it, why would anybody follow you? And so that's what we've really wanted to do, is deal with some areas. And again, with the Holy Spirit, I've allowed Him to direct me. There's a level of what I use that I did get. I was reading a list of a pastor who made some things that when he got these things settled in his life early in his Christian walk, he said he's never regretted a day of his walk with God. And so I wrote those things down. That really got me going in this line of what, of where we've been. But I'm just really allowing the Holy Spirit to direct me and lead me. And so things like, praise and worship. I've never, when I grew up in church, and again, I'm not talking about the good old days. I'm talking about the old days, because the good days we're stepping into the good days. When I went to church as a kid, I just remember, people. And again, I'm not saying anybody. I'm just saying as a whole. I've seen big congregations of faith people that when it comes to praise and worship, they can be very indifferent. They can go out. They can use it for going out in the foyer to talk and to catch up with people. They can be very lax about getting in there. We'll get in there, but we're not going to get in there when they're dancing and shouting, because then we might have to dance and shout and we'll feel bad if we don't. So a lot of church has become very indifferent to praise and worship. And I believe, beloved, that we have just entered into true understanding of praise and worship. Back when I was a teenager, we were just starting to get Hosanna music, where they had a couple worship courses that we would, pretty much every Sunday, this is the day that the Lord has made. Remember that song? That the Lord has made, I will rejoice. That was our chorus. And then we'd sing a couple hymnals, and then maybe one slow chorus, and then we close it. And now we're starting to understand more of the tapping in to the anointing, the presence. And again, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with hymns. I'm just saying that I think we're just really getting an understanding and a revelation in the church world about praise and worship, how intricate it is. Because we don't have the understanding, we don't operate in it. So we become indifferent towards it. So it's that kind of thing is, going to church. Again, that's something that people fight with. It's not important. From Wednesday night, because I had a pastor friend of mine on Facebook bring out someone that had talked to him and said, "Pastor, how can you prioritize a pagan holiday over church night?" In other words, apparently the pastor had canceled his church service so that the kids could go trick or treating and get candy, and so the pastor was just kind of asking, "What do you all think?" And one person was like, "It's just church." Well, I think that's the wrong idea. Now, am I saying that it's a sin to have to cancel service for that? No, we canceled service. I just postponed it, and I thought, you know what? I'm not just after just you being in church and just saying we had church. I want to do something special, and I believe God showed up on Thursday night. It was something different. We just didn't move it just to say we moved it. But it's just church. You're not going. They'll say this. You're not going to hell if you just miss one church service. Well, hey, if that's the reason you're going to church because you think it's keeping you out of hell, you're wrong anyway. Because going to church ain't keeping you out of hell. Being a Christian's keeping you out of hell. Going to church is what a Christian do. All right, I'll just let that be. But because we don't understand that, because we don't understand the value of going to church, because we don't understand it's just going to church. It's just hearing the preacher preach. I thought about a week ago, I was sitting in my office and this thought hit me. I wasn't thinking bad things about anybody, but this thought hit me that said if people really understood going to church and that it does, that them come to church isn't just about them. It's not about you. Again, my saying has always been, the church is never here. You know, your view needs to be the church was never here for me. It's for the person next to me. Because when that becomes your view, you come to church for a different reason. You come to church to bless others, to take care of others, understanding that you praise and worshiping is edifying someone else, just like Aaron and Hur edified Moses on the mountaintop by lifting his hands up. Sometimes somebody needs to see somebody else praising through the storm so that they know that they're supposed to praise through the storm. So when you have the mentality, this church ain't here for me, it's here for the person next to me, then that means everybody's needs gets met because you're the person next to somebody else. But when you come to church and you're like, "Well, I already heard this series. Pastor Thad always rehashes. So if I miss a sermon, I'll get it next week. I'll get the gist of it next week when he starts his sermon, because he'll preach what I have preached. And it's okay that I missed it. And beloved, you know what? Pastor Thad still loves you. And it's okay that you missed it, because God's not mad at you. God's not angry with you. But beloved, you missed something in you investing into someone else's life. You missed something in being where you're supposed to be in that covenant connection. Amen. But when we don't know. And that's what Hosea 4 verse 6 says. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It goes on, says they reject knowledge and they've forgotten things that they knew. But there's a decrease in life when you don't know that which you need to know. And so that's what we've just been dealing here. We've been dealing with a couple areas, just that if we can get these things under wraps and in our head right, and understand why God has us doing these and why these things are so important, and understand the essentialness of it. Again, praise and worship. If I can throw this out at you like this, praise and worship isn't just about the music. The music is a way we praise and worship. I mean, I was at one church once visiting when I was did some traveling with my dad, just being his right-hand man at certain stops along the way. And they would praise and worship for a long time without music. And then you say, how'd they praise and worship without music? Well, they would testify for a while. They would pray out loud, just pray without music, all that kind of stuff. Now, again, I love music, and music is powerful. Music really is a way that it strings your emotions, but it's just not about the music. It's about a heart situation. It's about what's inside of you. You worship from the inside out. And so when worship isn't important to you, then there's something going on askew on the inside. Doesn't mean you're not a good person. Doesn't mean that you don't qualify as a Christian. I'm just saying that there's something wrong on the inside. Amen? All right. So, but what you don't know, and so that's what that says, these areas that are hitting the church world, and this one that we've been on recently is a major area. It is becoming more and more increasingly popular, and I understand when I talk to older pastors, it's not the first time these kind of teachings have come along that try to make. Matter of fact, in Bible days, they tried to tell you a lot of times that it didn't really matter how you lived, if you sin, so what? God still loves you, and you're still going to heaven because it was His grace that saved you, not your works, and so you can do whatever you want to do and still be okay with God. And see, there's a problem with that, because there's something the Bible calls willingly sinning. And when you just are okay with going in and sinning, then there's a problem with that. There's a problem in that. But we'll get more into that. And so what I have entitled this section that we're on is just simply being an honorable vessel. And some of us, that phrase, honorable vessel, it sounds good, sounds right? But when we truly understand what an honorable vessel is, that begins really bringing out clear to us how important it is for us to do and to live holy and right lives before God. You don't have to turn to these things, because I just want to throw several scriptures out here that we've already gone through. We've started in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, where it says, abstain from all appearances of evil. The Amplified says, shrink away from it. Stay aloof from it. Be above it. I like aloof, just because if someone's aloof, it means they act like they're above you. Right? They're looking down on you. That's what we need to be towards sin. Sins beneath us. Any kind of evil, any kind of thing that's wrong, it's underneath us. God, Jesus didn't die on the cross to make you free to sin. He died on the cross to make you free from sin. And so you need to see yourself as more important or higher above, aloof from all evil, anything that even appears evil. Abstain simply says stay away, do not participate, do not feed on, have nothing to do with it. Colossians told us, and again, these are things that we've already talked about, that we've been delivered from the power of darkness, translated from darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. And because we've been translated, it means that it was by His power, and so you cannot be translated into the kingdom of His dear Son and be taken all your extra baggage along with it. That's why He says, lay aside the things that so easily entangle you. Amen. We went back to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, where it says, "Let the very God of peace sanctify you or set you apart wholly." And remember, when we're dealing with the area of sanctifying, we're talking about being set apart. And I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that called you; He'll also do it. So again, we're seeing that let God sanctify you, both your spirit, your soul, and your body. And I love when I taught years ago on sanctification, because I started studying it, and it seems like everybody kind of had a different view on it. Some people say that once you're born again, you're sanctified, and you never have to worry about it again. That whatever, you know, wherever you go, whatever you do, you're eternally set. But I started learning that the Bible is very clear that spiritually, spirit-wise, that you're sanctified, you're set over to Him. But now there becomes a process, and we'll look at this in a moment, of renewing yourself in your life. The Amplified Version in verse 23 says, "And may the God of peace Himself sanctify you through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and holy and consecrated to God." Again, sanctifying you, separating you from profane things, things that are wrong. We dealt with 1 Corinthians, where it says, "Know you not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy." Now, what we went into that really is that we need to keep ourselves holy, and it says, "For the temple of God is holy." And last week, if you remember, we went into to Leviticus, where it talked about the tithe and identified the tithe as holy. And so the tithe is not something you choose what you do with. The tithe is holy. It goes to God. It goes to the things of God. It goes to the house of God. It goes, you know, it goes to the storehouse. And that's not, that tenth is nothing to do with what you want to do it with. Well, in the new covenant, it does not mean that we don't tithe the new covenant. And we talked about that last week, but I need to throw that out there again. But what it is saying is, in the New Testament, we are holy unto God. Therefore, we are that which is to be put into the Master's hand, to allow Him to create us, to mold us, to shape us the way He wants us to do, that we don't have a choice in the matter. Now, we have the choice to say yay or nay, don't get me wrong, but if we want the fullness of what God has for us, faithful is He that called, faithful is for Him. What does it say there? It says, "Faithful is He that called you, who also will do it." He'll do it because He's called you, but you've got to say, "I'm going to stay on the wheel. I'm going to allow the potter to continue to mold me and to make me and to be who I'm not going to be the one to call the shots in my life." Amen, amen. Some people get real excited about this stuff. So, now let's go to John chapter 8. We left off here last week. We taught on this a little bit, but I want to pick it up here because this is something that's really important. We pretty much hear anywhere, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed," right? Anytime we hear this scripture quoted, 99% of people will say, "The Son sets you free." Now, why do they say that? Most cases, it's because a lot of the newer translations actually use the word "set." I started looking to see a different translation that might be that might make it clearer, and really they all just muddied it up a little bit. Because this word is clearly the word "made." It's a process. and not set. Set means that it's something that's done. Set this or set that, and it's done. You walk away from it, and you don't have to worry about it again. It's going to, the thermostat's going to get up to the temperature. You don't have to keep setting it once you've set it. And so, but when it's being made, when something's being made, let's talk about your bed. How many of you made your bed 4 months ago? I'm not talking about a date. I got to do the math. No, you did it 4 months ago. You did it a year ago. You did it 2 years ago. You did it 5 years ago. You did it 10 years ago. And you probably did it this week at some point. Maybe even today. Maybe even this morning. Maybe. But it's not something that's done. It's something that's got to continue to be done. We got to continue working on. It's not just, it doesn't happen. And so anyway, John chapter 8 verse 32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's literally what it says. That's what the Hebrew, that's what the Greek says. That the truth that you know is what's going to start a process in you of bringing you to freedom. Now the truth of the matter is, when you get born again, you're as free as you've ever been. But you got these old stinking habits that in your brain, in your heart, in your life, things that you've always done, ways you've always acted. People get born again and they had a temper before they were born again, and they have more peace, they have more freedom in them than they've ever had. But a lot of times, this little temper tantrum, this little anger starts creeping back in, right? And they get real frustrated because they thought they were free. No, notice this. It's the truth that makes you free. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is truth." So in other words, "And ye shall know the word," the rhema, the word of God, and the rhema that you know. It's the rhema that is active in you that you understand. That's what's going to, again, make you free. Now again, I shared with you this last week is that I asked Pastor Carter, our Grace Ministries resident Greek guru, what exactly the setup is there of that, and he said it's future tense. So it's something that is a process that his exact words is. It's future tense, making it something that will take place in the future. Therefore, sometime in the future, when the Word keeps working in you, you're going to truly be free. It will come. Now, that's where a lot of people get bummed out, because going to church, doing this, I still have these habits that keep popping up. This thing keeps getting me intrigued. I've got this bad habit that every now and then I'll sit down and it'll pop up, it'll come to me. It's the thing is that it's not just plopped away from you. You got to keep in the Word. You got to keep going after Word, letting the Word of God renew what's inside of you, where your spirit side becomes infinitely stronger than the flesh side of you. In your life. So it says sanctify them through the word. That word sanctified again means to separate from profane things, to consecrate, to purify, to cleanse externally. And again, if you remember that word I brought out, venerable. I've never used the word venerable. That's a very venerable thing you're doing. But it means to be worthy of reverence, deserving of honor and respect. And again, that's the first time we've heard in this series, besides the title, a vessel of honor. Being a vessel of honor, an honorable vessel. And so here's the first time that we see that we allow ourselves to become an honorable vessel. We allow ourselves to become venerable through the Word. Because the Word starts the process of us being with a vessel of honor that God wants us to be. Go to Jeremiah 15. Hallelujah. Hope this is sinking in. Again, I don't want this to be one of those things that I want everybody to feel dirty about. all the sins. I want you to feel bad about sins, okay? Don't get me wrong. But I don't want us walking out of here going, I'm such a sinner as I. No, I'm simply saying that if there's things in your life, and it can be some of anything, it can be bad habits, I'll call them traits or things that, you know, just that are just not right. People can get, like, we could talk about anger, we could talk about bitterness, we could talk about all that kind of stuff that just keep, those are evil things, those are wrong things. The things that the Bible says stay away from them. And if there's anything like that operating in your life, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you, and then begin your walk of being in the Word and letting the Word of God sanctify you and making you clean and removing that from you. I brought up that scripture this morning. Just on the way here, I use voice recognition, but in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, it says that he might sanctify you, and again, that's that sanctify, to cleanse you, to make you clean, to get you to abstain from that which is wrong, that which is evil, and cleanse with the washing of the water by the Word. So that Word working in you is scrubbing off those things, those habits, those things that are on you that shouldn't be there. The more the Word of God works in you. That's why, beloved, it's awesome that there's such access online access to the sermons. How many sermons are online? That you can go in and a couple right off the bat that I know, KCM.org has sermons and videos and all sorts of stuff you can watch free of charge. Grace Main has all sorts of stuff. Keith Moore has all sorts of things you can watch online free of charge without, if you want to sow some, which I suggest you sow something to them if you're using a lot, but, it's why? Because the more Word we get in us, the more it is cleaning us. It's cleansing us. That's why we need to go to a good Bible preaching church. Because the Word that's going to make you free isn't the Logos. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Rhema. It's not just the fact that somebody got in front of you and preached a sermon. Went through three inspirational points to bring across a point to get something into you. To where you walk away, you go, that was a nice sermon. Faith comes by the Rhema, the Word, the revealed Word of God that lights you up. And it's that revealed Word that is cutting off the edges of your life. That is cleaning you up. I have a habit in my life, and it's called Photoshop. And I do any of the graphics I do around here. You know, the sign that's sitting out there, I did it on that. You know, any graphics that I do around here, I do on Photoshop. And one of the things I enjoy to do, and I found a place in online that is that helps me crop things out. If you know what a cropping means, it means if I take a picture of Neil and I don't like the background, I cut in around Neil's body and I take him and I place him somewhere else. Put him anywhere I wanted to put him. One time I had a game. The game of games for our youth group was always Shoutabout. I would make. We've played it here. We've played it in different things. And there was one time where I cropped myself out of a picture and put myself in different locations, and they had to guess the location that I was at. It was kind of different. But that's cropping you out. Well, there, I found a place online that is called the Smart Crop, and you can click on it and click up here, and it'll try to find the outline of your body without you doing every bit. Sometimes it works. If it's real high definition, it works better. But you can get pretty much the whole thing done and cut out of that picture just on that. So I'll do that. I'll cut it out. And then I'll save it onto my computer. And then I have to go into Photoshop and I have to keep working on it. Because for the most part, it did a really good job. But there's still some rough edges. Maybe in the hair. Now, Neil's hair, it would be really easy to crop out. Ryan's hair. Whenever I've done Ryan's, is a hassle because his is always, you know, straight up, especially if he's playing basketball, because then it's straight up sweaty. And so you got to go, you know, I have to really crop it out. But you know, I got to work on it. I got to keep working on it. I got to get in there and get the little eraser tool, and I have to zoom in really close, and I have to just nudge up slightly against the pant leg or the shirt leg. I have to make sure I'm not taking out arm, you know, and I'm taking out the tree that's in the background, and I got to keep working on it to take out all the rough edges. That's what the Word of God's doing in us. The Word of God, when you're born again, you're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You're now in a different background than you've ever been in your life, but we still have some of those rough edges. That God is, and we'll get in, goodness gracious, I want to get there now. That God wants us, it's just in a second, so yay. That God wants to get in close and by His Word and keep working it away. But see, that's where most Christians, they get born again. They start having the same habits. And so instead of going to church, maybe they feel shame. They feel such shame because that these habits are still there. And so they quit going to church. They quit hanging around other Christians. They do the opposite of what they should be doing. Instead of getting to the Word and allowing the Word to continue to make them look good, they start finding themselves being moved back into their old settings in that old background that we didn't want anyway. We didn't like that background anyway. But it's easier just to leave them in there. There's probably a lot of you that probably have thought it would be great to have this picture without this person in the background. Have you ever seen those pictures online where somebody's got a beautiful wedding at the beach, and in the background there's some dog peeing? And they're like, man, it would be great if we could just get rid of that dog or move us to a different part, but it's too hard, so we'll just keep ourselves here and just have a funny story to tell everybody. It's easier just to stay where you're at, keep doing what you're doing. But if you want to be an honorable vessel, if you want to be a vessel of honor that is meat for the Master's use, that the Master can take and to use, and again, we talk all the time about being open vessels for Him to pour out. We want the Master to be able to pour us out wherever we need to be, to use us wherever we need to be. But in order to do that, you got to let the Word of God work on you to take off those rugged edges. Jeremiah 15. Hallelujah. That's good illustration there. Jeremiah chapter 15. Verse 18, I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation so I can make headway here. It says, why then does my suffering continue? My suffering continue. Why is my wound so incurable? Your help seems as uncertain as a seasonal brook, like a spring that is going. That's a bad situation there, isn't it? He says, I'm suffering. I'm going through the battle. I'm going through the pain. Seems like my wound, like my situation hasn't turned over, hasn't changed. It seems like everything around me is dried up. This is a rough situation. Verse 19, and this is how the Lord responds. If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you'll be. Do not let them influence you. Hallelujah. This keeps diving behind my shirt. So. Hallelujah. But notice this. He says, my life, I'm having some rough times here. It seems like nothing's quite working out for me. It seems like I'm drying up in everything that I'm really wanting to do. Things are getting frustrating for me. What do I do? How do I turn this around? And God says, here's how you turn it around. You return to me, and I'll restore to you. I like this. I heard one person say it like this. To return just simply means to draw near. So it says, if you're not saved, come. If you have strayed, return. If you've gotten to that point where you've moved away from the new background that God is trying to has translated in you into, and you're finding yourself removed away from that, return. Get back in the Word. Get back in that relationship with God. Get back in that place where you can become that honorable vessel, that vessel that is poured out and filled and poured out and filled. Return. Now, God doesn't require us to live this way because He's a dictator. He's not trying to ruin our time. He's not trying to keep you from enjoying your life. He wants you to enjoy your life. He created you. He knows what you need to enjoy life. He wants us to live this way for us. It produces freedom. It produces what's best for us. And you cannot walk in the ways of the world and be free, being an honorable vessel. God's desire is that you wake up every morning happy, fulfilled, enjoying what that day has. Family around you, no trouble. Man, I'm having some trouble with this. It's not God's desire for me not to have trouble with this.
All right. I'm going to do this and I'm going to button this one so it stays up high. Huh? All right.
All right. His desire is for us to wake up every morning happy, full of joy, needs met, family around you, no trouble, free from struggles. That's what He tells us in Deuteronomy 28. But when we start moving ourselves around, we start allowing Him, straying away from His Word, all those rough areas remain. I was just thinking again. We're going to move into this next. Hallelujah. This morning I was reading through that the thought came to me. Sin has an outcome. Living by your flesh has an outcome. Now we know Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. So sin has an outcome. It's going to remove you from the good life that God has for you. Romans 8. Says that even when you live according to your flesh is enmity with God. Separation from God. They have outcomes. Matter of fact, it tells us we live by our flesh is death. So, again, the point here is that it may not happen the first time. There may be some stuff that you do that you think you're getting by with, But a lot of that has to do with because you come back and you're like, I screwed up on that one. I shouldn't have done that. I think that's what's happening to our country in a lot of areas, is that God has released a lot of them and turned them over to a reprobate mind. And they can't even think straight. And so we've got to recognize this. That's all I'm saying. We've got to recognize that these little habits, they're not just fun little habits. They just are nuisances. They are things that are trying to keep you from the life that God wants for you. Go to Luke 6. Hallelujah. It's interesting. I am a pastor. I've known a lot of pastors. And as much as pastors like to present the fact that they've got it all figured out and they've never made a mistake since they've been born again. No, the thing, every one of us, things are being taken off of us little by little, chunk by chunk, some of us. But we got to stay faithful. We got to stay in the Word. We got to stay faithful to this process because that's what makes us that honorable vessel. When you yield yourself because of a teaching, because of what someone said, when you yield yourself to say it's okay to sin, when that doesn't bother you anymore, you have removed yourself from the glory that God wants to pour into you and pour out of you. And again, that's the importance of what we're talking about here, is we need to feel good about living holy. We need to feel right about being different from the world. Repeat after me. Say, it's all right that I'm different from the world. It's all right that I don't do the same things. It's all right that they look at me and call me peculiar. It's all right. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had somebody the other day. Allison, plug your ears. I had a friend of hers actually come up to me the other day at a basketball game. First thing she said was, Allison played so good tonight. And she did. She was wonderful on her first game starting. Allison played good. And then she said, but you know what? She's just a genuinely good person. She is a good girl. She said, I'm a pastor's kid. I was raised in church. But Allison lives it and breathes it. Allison, it's okay to be different. It's okay to be clean. It's okay to live that kind of life. It's okay. And I know she knows that, but it's okay. Amen. It's okay to be different from the world. If you're acting just like them, amen. All right. Are you in Luke 6 yet? Go to verse 40. I'm going to keep working through this thing. And I would love to be done today. And some of y'all would like me to be done today. But I'm really wanting us, because I don't deal in this area very much at all. And I really wasn't looking at it until I started really studying it and realized, this is important for us. Because again, it's an area. I'm looking at areas, and the Lord's speaking to me about areas that the church world is not real enthused about. And it seems like the church world is less and less enthused by living holy lives. I mean, it just seems like that the more you teach that it's okay to do wrong things, the more popular you can become. I believe that there are certain denominations who saw the writing on the wall and saw them, basically their effectiveness leaving, their numbers dwindling. And so they thought, well, let's make a different genre of people feel welcome. And so they opened the doors to homosexuals and said, hey, it's okay if they just come and fellowship with us. We'll make you feel welcome. Again, I want them to feel loved. I don't want their sin to feel accepted, but I want them to feel loved. I want them, because again, what is the Holy Spirit doing? He's chipping off of things that need not be there. And he'll do it in every situation. But I'm not going to change the way I believe and the way I know things to be true to try to keep my numbers up. Amen. All right, let's get this. Verse 40. The disciple is not above his master. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now again, that sounds like a really tough. I remember back years ago the old saying, I'm not perfect, just forgiven, right? And that always bothered me because God tells us that we need to be perfect. And so I always felt like it was a Christian's way to simply say it's okay if I sin because I'm still forgiven. And I was like, no, we need to understand that God wants us forgiven. I'm headed towards perfection, but thank God I'm forgiven, right? So this scripture says the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So it sounds like, well, I'm not going to be like my master because I make a lot of mistakes still. But notice the Amplified Version, and it kind of gives a picture of what that word perfect means. It says, a pupil is not superior to his teacher, but everyone, when he is completely trained, readjusted, restored, set to rights, and perfected, will be like his teacher. Now, one of those really stuck out to me. Everyone, when he is completely trained, readjusted. I like that word, readjusted. Because when I ride in my car, my wife is always, always readjusting the heat, the air conditioner, or the heater. I'll be driving along and I'll be thinking on a nice sunny day, and I'll be thinking, why is that sun beating through on me? What is so hot in here? And I'll look down and my wife, and this is her trick, because we have climate control, so she can get different things on her side than I can get on my side. And so what she'll do is, in the summertime, the air conditioner in the car will get too much. So she'll turn her side to warmer temperatures, because my side's keeping it cold. So her side goes, and then what? She doesn't want to get too hot, so you know what she does? She redirects the heat to blow towards me. So I've got coldness hitting me and a heat little stream coming right from here, because she doesn't want to get too hot, so she turns it away from me. She's constantly readjusting the air conditioner. But why is she doing that? Because she's trying to find the perfect place. If it gets too cold, she turns up the heat a little bit. If it gets too warm, she'll come back. It's kind of like, you know, get that spot right there in the middle where it's perfect. And then our trips are never long enough, even when we go to Florida. Never long enough for her to find that perfect spot. I'm trying to keep her awake. She worked last night. So, but constantly readjusting to find that place. Well, that's what this is saying, is that when you are in the Master's hands, He is going to be in that place of readjusting you constantly to get you to that place where you're just like Him. And so when you're a person, that's why sometimes you'll get, Pastor Thad will talk about things like complaining. That's always a fun topic, isn't it? It's like, okay, Pastor Thad, I'm going to go home and complain that you preached on complaining, right? But what's God doing? He's readjusting you. Because I've noticed that every now and then when I teach on like complaining and stuff like that, some of you get really quiet. Overly quiet. I'm not calling out names or anything, but you know who you are. Because that's an area that you're struggling with, or that you maybe found yourself doing a lot, and just perchance, Pastor Thad went through your garbage, found out, and so he had taught on that. And so now it's like, oh, what's God's just readjusting you. I did one the other day where I was talking about, remember when in Acts when I was talking about ways that we witness, the five ways, that just simple ways that you can witness every day without, and one of them was shine, just be a Christian, just live a Christian walk. And that illustration that I used about don't leave your matches at home. I saw the look on many people's faces that night going, yeah, I left my matches at home today. Yeah, I did that. What's God doing? He's readjusting. And it's funny how when you get one area of your life kind of readjusted and you get focused on that area, you find this other area starts getting a little out of whack. And you move back over there and you get that readjusted and you find this area needs a little bit of adjusting. And God, that's why God uses you, a good shepherd, to lead you to green pastures. That's why you need that prayer walk and you need to speak in that heavenly language so that He can reveal things in you. What? Because He wants you to be that perfect vessel, the vessel of honor that He uses. Are you following this? Isn't that just beautiful? He's readjusting you. Continually working on us so that we can be that, to that place where we're full of His blessings and full of honor, that venerable life. Looking back at our lives, we all know, probably if we just look back towards the beginning of this year, we can all see God consistently, constantly saying, work in this area. I need you to focus on this area. I need you to get, you know. And readjusting us, never leaving the potter's wheel. Being adjusted to where we're in his image. Go to Hebrews 10. Hallelujah. And I'm so close to the finish, but there's no way I can do it. But let's see what we can do. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation, verse 14. It says, "For by that one offering, Jesus, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy or clean." Notice that wording. Is that for by that one offering, he forever made perfect. So he began the process of readjusting and restoring those who are being made holy and clean. He began with that sacrifice. He made it available for you to be clean and not. That's why I get real frustrated when people want to say, use God's grace as a means to live in sin, because God brought His grace, put that on the cross so you could be free from sin. Hallelujah. Well, let's see here. Bless the Lord. Okay, this continues on. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to hurry, but all these scriptures are so much telling the same thing, and they're from different locations, and it's bringing out the same point that we got to keep that Word of God working in us. We got to keep allowing people get frustrated. Well, Pastor Thad, you just taught on this area a little while ago. Or Pastor Thad, why, you know, remember the year that 52 weeks I taught on covenant relationships on Sunday mornings? And you could say, again? What was God trying to do? He was working in some areas. He was trying to get some areas. Beloved, listen. For years, we are in churches. The enemy has worked subtly to get these stinking thinking in us, and he'll like, you know, well, what's the church giving you? What are you doing in the church? You know, what has the pastor done for you? And he'll work these gradual things in to where the church has become an extraordinarily selfish place. I'm not saying this church. I'm just talking about, you go a lot of churches and it's like, well, I didn't like the color of the carpet, and I didn't like the clothes the pastor wore, and the pastor's wife, she shouldn't dress like that, and this and that. And everything becomes about what I didn't like about church, and the church has become increasingly selfish because the enemy has done it on purpose. And so when we, especially when the growth comes and new people are here, if they don't understand that covenant relationship, that covenant unity, that covenant between each of us that's operating in this place, that we are here in one accord, I'm my beloved's and he is mine, and what's going on for him is equally as important as what's going on for me. It's just simply God said, we got to get that cut off. We can't let that stay, because that will hinder where I'm taking you. Selfishness to have to do with money. That's the first reason I ever had Doc come up here and start teaching offerings. First time ever is the foundational reason was he was walking what was going on. That was it. That was enough for me. Because Pastor Thad had been teaching it enough. And I knew he had a gift, knew he had that. But I wanted him to come and just simply say, here's what I've been doing. And his foundational testimony was that early in his life, it was about him. And he'll tell you, I mean, I'm not making this up, that there was selfishness on him. But what did God begin doing specifically through the seed time and harvest? Chipping away. reforming him, getting the rough edges off. Why? So that God can use him. God can. See, that's why we teach on giving. That's why, because that is a major problem. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I love this because, again, I'm not saying that people are like, so I can sin if I don't want God's best for me. Well, you understand that His best is heaven. So if you choose willingly just to go into sin, it's not a good outcome for you. I want you to understand that. Just, amen. But I'll get more than that. I just want to get into this because I want to be a vessel. Here's why we need to live a whole life. It's so that we can fully enjoy everything He has for us. So we have nothing holding us back from moving. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says this. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's that freedom, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is moving. But we all, verse 18, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. Are readjusted. Now again, I'm going to pause there for a second because notice it says here that we all with open face beholding as in a glass. The picture there is the picture of the laver, the bronze laver that was out in the outer courts of the tabernacle. And it was the place the priests would go wash before they moved into the holy place. And they would be working all day in the outer courts with dust and dirt and blood, the blood of the goats, blood of the animals, all the sacrifices. They'd be out there in the middle of the desert with dirt flying up, you know, all over them. And when it was time to go into the Holy of Holies, they had to wash themselves. And so they would walk to the lever in order to clean themselves up. It was a big brass thing, which again, the women's mirrors back in those days were not like our mirrors. They were bronze, shine bronze things that you'd look in and you could see your reflection in. Well, that's what the outside of that was made of. And so the point was, is they'd walk into that, and when they'd walk up to that, they may have spent the whole day butchering cows and butchering goats and taking this from this person and working with the animals and pulling the animals over here, pulling the animals over there, dirt covered their beards, all that kind of stuff. And when they'd walk up there, they'd look at the laver and they would go, oh, I'm the priest, the Most High God. Because sometimes I think they'd forget. They'd find themselves so caught up in everything they do, they'd forget who they were. And when they'd look in the laver, the bronze laver, the looking glasses, they would say, I'm a priest of the Most High God. I am an image of Almighty God here on earth. And so they would get in then to the laver and clean themselves up, work on themselves, get the dirt off of them, get them in a situation, in a place where now they could move in to what God had for them. And so when it says here that we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, that's that picture. The picture of the glass is the Word of God. It's the mirror of the Word of God. And so when we look in that glass, we see the glory of the Lord and are being readjusted, shaped, changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Beloved, we cannot be the full image of the glory of God when we're allowing all that wrong stuff to operate in us. We've got to remove ourselves from that so that we can be who God created us to be and enjoy all of His benefits. The more we behold ourselves in the glass, the Word, we're changed. We're being changed in the image of God from glory to glory. We're being made free, being changed, readjusted. Amen. And I'm going to stop there. I really haven't even gotten to being vessels of honor. Can we just go there real quick? And if I'll just make mention of it. And if I'm supposed to stop, I'll stop. If I need to go over 2 Timothy 2, let's just go there. I'm just mention it, and then because this is what we're talking about, being that honorable vessel. Verse 15. It's funny because the way as word this became the last scripture I read on it. But verse 15, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we need to get in the word of God and make it a major part of our lives. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So in other words, we're not just getting in there to say bad things, to allow wrong things being said or listened to, because they'll increase. In other words, don't hang around people that talk bad stuff. Don't be with people because it's going to be easier for you to be ungodly. Verse 19, let's wrap this up. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." If you're of Christ, you need to be removed from that. "But in a great house," which house we are in, "they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth." Which tells us there's some of us who are, we're all different. You know, some of us are polished, well polished. I don't know who in this room is well polished, but some of us are well polished and so suave and debonair, and other of us are a little bit more. I'm a little bit country. I'm a little bit rock and roll. Right? We got there's different makeups of everybody. There's some of gold. There's some of silver. There's some of wood. There's some that are clay pots that are made. There's all sorts of different vessels in a house. But some of them are to honor and some of them to dishonor. In other words, some of them be used. Some of them are used. Some of them are put out for everyone to see and for everybody to enjoy and for everybody to decorate the house. Other ones are stuck underneath the house. Or some I've heard a lot of different when in studying this. People like, you know, ashtrays are dirty. They're a dishonor. I mean, the way I see it is this, is that there's some things that you don't have on display. Maybe mama had it, grandma, grandpa had it or whatever. And it's a nice heirloom to have, but it's not on display for everybody. You don't use it. You don't really even display it because it's not necessarily that kind of thing, but it's in the house. That's kind of the way it is with us, is that there may be a whole lot of us that are just different, come from different backgrounds. Some of us, you know, had, you know, I think, Doc, weren't you raised in another country? He was raised in another country. Some of you were raised in that foreign land of Kentucky. I was raised in Illinois. We all have this difference, you know. Backgrounds on us, different personalities, different family things, different hobbies, different ways of seeing things. But we're all in the same house. We're all can be used by God. I don't want to be in the house of God and not have His glory shine through me, not have His power work through me, not be used by Him. I don't want to be the vessel of dishonor. I want to be a vessel of honor that He can use. In verse 21, it says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Isn't that just awesome? When you allow the Word of God, when you allow the God Almighty just to keep working at you, never thinking, "I've arrived. I can do this and not be affected by it." You just keep letting Him chip away, keep working in this area. When Pastor Thad brings up an area, I'm fascinated with how many times I come up in an area and somebody will come up to me and go, "Yeah, that's exactly what I told you." I've been accused of going through people's garbage because this lady went to Rhema Bible College. I mean, she knew the move of God. She knew pastors. And she told the lady in our church, you need to quit going to that church because nobody can be that accurate. That's what she said about me. Because I would just start preaching a sermon and it would be like, boom, right between the eyes. Do you know what God's doing? There's a little area that He just needs to work a little bit more on. And then you get offended. Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why He wants us honorable vessels. That's why He wants us clean. Because He's got a lot to get done through us. And the one He uses is the honorable vessel. Not the one who's got all the chips and dings in it. I'm working on the program for the Round County. I get paid, so it's worth the time and effort. But I was going through some pictures, trying to weed out stuff that I'd already used. And I went down to a picture and I saw a couple cropped out pictures. And it's funny, I looked at it from a distance because they're small on the screen. And I said, I wonder which one is the one I need to keep. Because they both look the same from a distance. And then I hit where you can enlarge the thumbnails. This may not mean a lot to a lot of people. But, you know, when you're in the file and you can see maybe the picture small. So I just clicked where I made it a little bit bigger so it came up. And when it made it bigger, I looked at one. And this girl has on her head is like, boop, 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 boop. You know, just jag it all around her head. And I'm like, okay, that's one I didn't use. Why? Because all the jagged. That one, her head was. Isn't that something? Isn't that just exactly? God says, I need to get you smooth. I need to get those little areas off of you so that you can be the one I use. And the giftings, the things that I have for you to do can be achieved and be fulfilled in your life. Amen. And again, He doesn't do it. You know, people can say, yeah, that's why He brings sickness. That's why He brings this. No, it's not how He does it. He does it through His Word. He does it by just giving you the Word of God and having you line up with His Word. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. What a message. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. And as God is my witness, You know, I've not been overly thrilled necessarily to cover this because I don't want it to get in that area of where I'm just want everybody sin conscious. I want us to be word conscious because all we have to do is be focused on the Word, keep the Word working in our lives, and the Word in and of itself will take those things off because you will reveal to us those things that need to be. And for most of us in this room, we're not talking about vile sins. We're not talking about murder or you know, whatever. We're talking about things that are just slowing us down. These little things that keep us holding back from what You want to do in our lives. And so You're just working away. You're readjusting us all the time, constantly, so that we can continue. Even when things turn, even when we're going good, when the power of God's working through us, and it seems like we're walking that holy life, we've been readjusted, You just keep us on that potter's wheel. Keep us from, you know, doing a ding or whatever that gets us to where we start messing up. You just keep forming us. And I like that. I like the fact that I'm in Your wheel. I like the fact that the one who created me is the one who keeps reforming me, keep readjusting me so that I can be who You desire me to be. How I love You. How I love You, Abba Father. I love You, Daddy. I love You, Potter. And I thank You, Father, that where we're going, we're going to have a lot of beautiful, honorable vessels to do the job. Hallelujah. We love You, Father, in Jesus' name.